Hi, I'm Jacqueline Kinser, and for the past 5 years, I've been helping families all around the globe to overcome their breastfeeding challenges. And this is the first non-clinical breastfeeding podcast that shows you how to rock breastfeeding and master motherhood through practical tips, mindset shifts, and honest conversation to create a confident and empowering breastfeeding journey. This is the Breastfeeding Talk Podcast. Welcome to the Breastfeeding Talk Podcast, episode 105. I'm Jacqueline Kinser, and this week we are talking with Jackie Greco about her journey of breastfeeding her two children and breastfeeding them for over a year. So full-term breastfeeding and her ways that she's found joy and has so much wisdom to share of her weaning journey. So I absolutely love Jackie's story, and I'm so excited for you to listen to it. So I will dive into that in just a moment. But first, I wanted to tell you about some special things that we have going on in this month of May inside of the Nurture Collective. I have learned so much over the years and, you know, obviously made this an area of specialty within my practice. And that is tongue ties, lip ties, buccal ties, which we collectively call oral ties. So we've got Liz Turner. She is a dentist out of Colorado who does phrenectomy procedures, and she is going to be our special guest speaker. She's actually been on the podcast twice in the past, so I'd encourage you to check out her episodes. And we've got a couple of coffee chats coming up with yours truly, as well as Kate Ahern, our community manager, on specifically things related to ties. And then towards the middle of the month, we've actually got a joint Instagram live with Kimmy Nishimoto, who is also a past podcast guest. She was on episode 27, where we talked about sippy cups and pacifiers and bottles and all of the things, along with her colleague, Megan Van Noy. And so we're going to be going live on Instagram. And I just wanted to let you know that the month of May is all about ties. So if you have questions, if you're wondering, does my baby have this problem, or my baby definitely has this problem and you're struggling with it, you're working through it, this month is the perfect month for you to join our supportive community of like-minded moms, ask questions to our team of lactation consultants, join into our guest expert call, our monthly coffee chats, and just experience all of the courses that we have in there that are broken down into sort of like little mini courses where you can learn about ties, learn about how to overcome problems related to ties, what to expect at each stage of breastfeeding. So we would love for you to join. It's just $27 to join the Nurture Collective, and you get access to our complete library of courses, as well as interacting with our group there and asking questions in our support channels and all of that. So if you want to get access to that, head over to thenurturecollective.co, and that link is in the show notes for you as well. But keep listening, because today I am chatting to Jackie Greco, who is just a really wise mama that has so much to share, so much to inspire you. No, breastfeeding did not start out easy for her. So without further ado, I am going to introduce her and let you hear from her about her beautiful breastfeeding journeys. Welcome back to the Breastfeeding Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Jacqueline Kinser, and today I am joined by Jackie Greco. She lives just outside of Philadelphia with her husband and two children, a daughter who is 5 and a son who is 16 months. And having previously worked as a graphic designer, she now channels her creative energy on local community art projects and at home with her kids. And Jackie is here today to share a personal story, or you could say two stories somewhat. So we kind of connected on Instagram. She commented on a post from last year where I asked followers to share something that they're proud of when it comes to breastfeeding. And Jackie has lots to be proud of. So I wanted to bring her on the show and share some just really inspirational, uplifting stories of breastfeeding, because I think those are so important. Sometimes we often hear all of the horror stories and we should tell those stories, but let's balance it out with some good ones. So welcome, Jackie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited you're here because, you've got two kids, 5 and 1. So you've got a toddler running around and you've done a lot of breastfeeding. So, the one thing I'm always curious about when, it's worked out well, and I think a lot of other moms are too, there's never like a secret sauce, right? But like before you had kids, if it was, even before pregnancy or during pregnancy, like what were your goals or intentions or thoughts about breastfeeding? Because I always find that fascinating. Sometimes it's like unintended. Oh, here we are, and I'm nursing till 3, and I did not plan on that. Or, maybe you're like, I planned to breastfeed till my kid was 5 and we didn't get there. So I'd love to hear how you started out.
So I actually, looking back, I don't think I really had very high expectations. I don't think I was really surrounded by a lot of breastfeeding mothers. I obviously like knew I wanted to try once I became a parent. But I specifically remember being at an appointment with the midwife and she asked, "Oh, do you plan to breastfeed?" And I was like, "Well, I'm going to try." And she said, "Well, there's no try, there's only do." I was like, "Okay, well, now I feel like that kind of is setting me up for disappointment," or it just was like a very overwhelming comment because I was like, "Well, what if it doesn't work?" My sister struggled with her milk supply and had to supplement a lot, and that was kind of really all I knew about it, and was like, "Okay, so I guess it really like is a crapshoot if it's gonna work." And prior to my pregnancy with my daughter, I had two miscarriages. So by the time I was pregnant with her, I was like just focused on every little milestone. Like, okay, we made it to this 8-week appointment. We made it to the 12-week appointment. We got to the scan. Like anything after that, like was icing on the cake. So I don't think I really let myself go there. I definitely kept my guard up. And then once she was born, it was just like a flood of information. And I just didn't know how I was going to feel about it all. So I definitely went home on that like schedule where it's like nurse, pump, bottle, nurse, pump, bottle. And it was just like, it was so overwhelming that I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then once, things kind of started to shake out, we got into a really good groove. I do remember going to a breastfeeding support group. She was early. She was born right before 37 weeks, so she was tiny, and keeping her weight up was important. So I went and did weight checks, and all of the moms pulled out their phones to log the feedings and the feeding times. And it like threw me through a loop. Like I was so overwhelmed by seeing that because I wasn't doing that. I was like, well, we just like, I'm following her lead. I feed her when she's hungry. Like I thought things were going so great. And then I was like, what am I doing wrong? I don't have an app on my phone. So,
Oh gosh. And were you pumping because she was a bit early, and so that was part of the plan you were given?
I was pumping because that's, she was in the NICU for like maybe 30 hours, the first 30 hours. So they had me pumping and they were like literally running down a Q-tip of colostrum to the NICU. And so we just went home on that schedule, like that structure.
Right.
And then I got like completely engorged. It was like, I remember we drove to a lactation consultant in a blizzard and I was like, "Can you pop this or do something? Like this is like she's can't even latch at this point." And she told me, she's like, "I haven't seen someone this engorged in 20 years."
Oh no.
It was
Oh my
so
goodness.
uncomfortable. So it was definitely a rocky start. And she was like, "You can stop pumping. We didn't know. We didn't know how long do we do this every 3 hours. I'm waking up in the middle of the night, I'm pumping, I'm washing parts out at 2 a.m. Like, is this what people do when they bring a baby home?" Like it just seemed crazy. So the once we kind of got the green light from her to back off of that, I stopped pumping, and was just nursing on demand. And that's when I felt like I got into a really good groove with her and was like, everything's smooth sailing now. And then I got to this support group and saw all the apps. And I was like, wait a second, I'm not doing that. So that's when, like, I would say all of the outside noise started to kind of get into my head. And how long are you going to breastfeed? You know, when are you going to wean and switch to a bottle and this and that? And it was just like, it was overwhelming to kind of, I came out of this bubble with her and it was like a bombardment, it felt like, of information and pressure and questions from, like, not even in person. It was just what you see on social media. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, you kind of just get an influx. I'm not really sure where I was going to go with that, but, I remember going to the support group and just seeing like all of that and feeling really overwhelmed and wanting to go back into our bubble and just like, listen to her, listen to my daughter, listen to myself. And I think that kind of became my mantra going forward. Mm. And I think that's how we got to where we ended up at 3 years when I finally like made the choice to stop nursing her.
Yeah. Oh, I think that what you just described is what a lot of moms these days are going through. You know, when I had my son 10 years ago, apps were kind of, you know, a thing, but I remember asking my doula, like, what breastfeeding app she recommended. And her first question was, why? Like, what are you looking for that the app will offer? And I was like, I don't know, just to remember, like, which boob I used last. And she was like, you don't need an app. She was like, put a hair tie on your wrist and move it every time. And I was like, oh. And because she told me that, I never downloaded an app. Thank you. Thank you, Sabrina. Because, like, right, I could have gone down that road. But then, of course, you know, social media wasn't as crazy as it is now, but Facebook groups and all of that, right? It, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard, right? Like, you're trying, you're like, maybe I should be getting this information.
Right.
You know, like, how do you know, right? So, yeah. So you made this decision, which is great, right? To just kind of tune into your baby and yourself and, you know, follow that path, which I think is really great. How did it go, like, past that point? You know, were there things you were avoiding, places that you were still looking for information? Like, how did you kind of know what to do or what to expect? Or did you just roll with it? Because I think for some people, it can feel unsettling to be like, I'm not getting any guidance on this, you know?
Right. Definitely. I mean, and for sure, for some people, those apps were really helpful, like being able to track everything and log everything. And I think I had to just kind of figure out, in this season of life, for me, I need to just roll with it. And so I was still nursing her, and I knew I wanted to do it like past, I don't know, what would even be the standard? Are people told to stop at 6 months? I don't know. Like, I know a lot of people do stop at 6 months. That's like kind of what I heard and was used to seeing. But I was home with her and things were going great. And I was going back to work part-time and mostly working from home, but I do remember being in the office, and she was probably 8 months old at this point, and I was pumping in like a supply closet on the floor, and I had pushed a big box in front of the door so that no one would come in. And it was like, I looked at the bottles on the pump and there were just like droplets. And I was like, okay, so there's like really no need for me to be doing this, because when I am home and I'm nursing her, it seems to be fine. Like, she's getting what she needs. And I don't really think I need to have like a stash at home in the freezer anymore. Like, it just, she was eating food at that point. And so, yeah, like, it was supplemental nursing, I guess you could say. I mean, she was nursing throughout the day, but it was definitely starting to trail off as she was eating more food. And so I think, you know, nap time, bedtime, first thing in the morning, those were kind of our steady times when she would nurse. And then after she turned one, and she was drinking milk, she would have like a whole bottle of milk before bedtime. And that kind of, helped with her not needing to nurse to sleep. She had her bottle, she'd brush her teeth, she'd go to bed. And so it kind of just started to trail off naturally. And it was just continuing to follow her lead. And we've done that in so many other facets of parenting too, and has really shown that just tuning into your baby and listening to her, to them, and seeing where they're going to go next, that's been like the most successful thing for us. And it's been the way to, I feel like, bond with her the most. And nursing is one of those things. Like, nursing is a bonding thing. You can't deny that. And so every time I did think about stopping, I know I would like get a little bit of emotional. I'd get emotional thinking about it. Like, okay, she's 15 months. I need to stop. Like, this has gone for too long. Or she's two. Like, how long am I going to do this? And that was like, that was outside talk. That wasn't really me and how I felt. I was saying that because I knew I felt uncomfortable if it came up and people would have a reaction. Oh my gosh, you're still nursing her? Wow. And it wasn't always judgmental. It was just like shock. And yeah, I am. And then I would get like a little bit bashful and embarrassed about it. And like, definitely wasn't doing it in public anymore at that point. And we didn't really need to. Like, she kind of knew, okay, I nurse before a nap. So we weren't really out and about doing it. And I don't know if like I'm that kind of person that can do that. I'm just not that comfortable.
Yeah. No, I think that is very common. I try to tell moms that are nursing toddlers, I'm like, there are way more moms out there nursing toddlers than you know. Your neighbor's mm-hmm. probably doing it and you've just never seen it happen because they don't do it in public. They're doing it at home.
And that's so fine. Yeah. It's like, it's just not comfortable to like advertise, because you're just inviting in the possibility of judgment, which is a shame. And this is probably the first time I've really publicly talked about it. Like, I've mentioned it to a friend or two here and there, like, yeah, I nursed my daughter until she was like three. And like, oh wow. Like, I thought that was only like, you know, crunchy vegan home birth moms. I'm like, well, I love all of that too, but like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like, there's room for every variation. And this worked really great for us. And there was a lot of like, well, isn't it just going to get harder the longer you do it? Isn't that going to get harder for her to stop? I that was a question that I think came up. Either I was asking that of myself, or that was being asked to me.
And was it hard to stop? Because
no. And so there were times where I thought like I would give myself these like random arbitrary deadlines. Okay, I'm going to stop by June when she's 2.5 or whatever that her age was at the time. And I remember like sitting in the nursing chair, and I was like, okay, it's June now. And I would get kind of emotional about it. I'm like, I can't stop. If I'm going to be emotional about it, and I'm going to be, if I could be like swayed, if she asked enough or she became persistent enough, I could cave and do it again. And then that's just going to be confusing for her. And that's, you know, really not fair. So I finally was like, I'm going to wait until I'm ready, because at this point, like, what is the reason to stop? And I really had to ask myself that. Like, it's not a crutch for us. She falls asleep independently. Like, those were the things I used to ask myself. Like, am I using it because of this? And I was a little bit nervous, like, she'd stop sleeping or she'd stop napping if I stopped nursing her. But I worked pretty hard at nursing her, rocking her, and then laying her down and her falling asleep. So I felt confident when the time came. And so as long as it wasn't a problem for me and it wasn't a problem for her, I was going to keep doing it. And then right before she turned three, it was almost just like a physical reaction. Like, when she would latch, I was like, oh, I just need you off. And I hadn't really felt like that up until that point. I was like totally fine with it and comfortable with it. And then once I started to feel a little bit like, all right, here we go, I don't feel like doing this, I knew it was time. And we were going to start trying to have another baby. And I didn't want to be nursing while I was pregnant. I know that like many people do that. And I think that's so beautiful. I needed like a little bit of bodily autonomy during that time for me.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's a mutual thing. It's a two-way street. It's her and me. It's not all her, deciding. So, yeah, I told her, my body's going to stop making milk. You needed it a lot when you were a baby. And then you started to eat food and you needed less and you really don't need very much anymore at all. So, my body's not going to make milk after the next few days. She said, okay. And then each day for like a week before her nap, I'd say, okay, we're going to stop a little sooner this time and a little sooner. And then by, I think it was a Monday to a Friday, by that Friday, I was like, okay, my body's done making milk now. So I'm just going to rock you. And she just like rocked in my arms and I laid her down and she rolled over and went to sleep. And I went into my room and I cried like happy tears because I was like, we did it. And I don't feel like tomorrow I might cave. I feel like very confident that that was the last time.
Wow.
I'm very comfortable with this decision. And I trust her. I trust that she can cope with this transition and she's capable of it. And I think that she can trust me to like confidently lead her through it without there being all these mixed emotions that we could, you know, go back and forth on, because I didn't think that would be fair. And then that was it. I wrote her, I have an email address for both my kids and, you know, I'll give them the password when they're older. And I just, it's like a way of sending them little things throughout their lives. And I wrote her an email and was like, we did it. We made it 3 years starting out with zero expectations. And we just had like a snuggle without any mama milk and you went to sleep and that was it. And that was the last time. So,
oh my goodness. That's so beautiful. And the email thing.
It was.
That's really cool. Do you think that because she was three and you could utilize the language to convey this to her, that that was part of what made it so seamless?
Absolutely. I think having the connection that I have with her, and like I said, really being clued into her and following her lead for her whole life has built this connection of really cooperation with each other and an understanding. Yeah. And I think she really understood. Like she got what I was saying and was like, okay, like that makes sense. I get it.
Wow.
And she didn't even ask after that. You know, I think there was one time shortly after where she like tugged at my shirt and I just like held, like patted her hand against me. And then she was like, okay, like that's right. That's it.
Oh my goodness. I love that. That's so cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
I was definitely proud of that. And it was one of those moments where I like, I want to like tell somebody like, we just did that. Like, that was so great that I couldn't have planned for that to go any smoother or more beautifully, but nobody knew. Nobody knew that I was still doing it. So it was kind of like, okay, like I'm just going to have this little internal celebration for myself. I think I sent like my mom and my sister a text and I don't think they even realized that I was still nursing her once a day for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And they were like, wow, good for you. I had no idea. That's great. But, it felt so much bigger to me. And it was a milestone in parenting for sure.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. But bummer that it wasn't something that you could celebrate more. But we're celebrating you now. So
yes, I know. Congrats. It means so much. That's why when I saw the post on Instagram, I very rarely interact like that on Instagram with, you know, big accounts and I saw that and I was like, you know what? I do feel really proud about this and I want to share that. And this is just my way of doing that, is commenting on that, that poll.
That's so cool.
it led to this. And then, you know, maybe someone hears that. And if they're wondering, like, oh, I don't know how long to nurse for, it's like, you do you. You do what works.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you've had that experience with your daughter. Mm-hmm. She's five now. Mm-hmm. Then you said you were trying to have another baby, which you did. So never, ever have I seen things go exactly the same with both babies for anybody, or multiple, right? Where they're all different. So, you know, what were things like with your son? And, you know, you had your body back for a little bit, sort of, because then the baby's growing in there, but.
Right. I think I had I had a chemical pregnancy like 2 weeks after I weaned my daughter. So was already something going on, like hormonally, that I didn't know about. And then, yes, I got pregnant again in February. I weaned her in December. And then in February, I got pregnant with my son. And it was totally different. The minute he came out, they were both C-sections. And then she, of course, I mentioned, was whisked to the NICU immediately. So I didn't even get to see her for a day or so. With him, he was a week late and was a big baby, so he didn't have to go to the NICU. And I was laying in the post-op wing, and I could hear him crying. And my husband was in the hallway, and I was like, just bring him to me. Let me nurse him. And there, I don't know if it's just, it's different when it's a C-section. I was a little bit lightheaded. They didn't want me holding him. And I was really persistent. And I was like, I can sideline nurse him, just lay him down here, put this pillow here. I was directing everybody. I just had so much more confidence in like advocating for myself and asserting myself. Whereas before it was kind of like, okay, whatever you say, I'm just going to do what I'm being told, because I'm just assuming that that's the right way or the only way. And they were like, okay, sure. Like, I guess we can try that. And I was like laying with him nursing, sidelining, like moments after he was born. And it was so cool. So that got off a little bit easier. I didn't use an electric pump once. I think I was just like, no, I never want to see an electric pump again. After that, after doing that with my daughter and realizing I didn't really need to be doing it, I just was doing it because other moms were pumping. So I guess I should be pumping, that kind of like thought. So with him, I had a Haka and a hand manual pump for when I wanted to skip a feeding overnight and get extra sleep. I would just like sleep in the guest room and use that. But it got off to a really great start with him. And then he was diagnosed with a dairy soy allergy. So that was different for sure. We had to get a formula that he wouldn't have a reaction to. And so I was worried about my supply kind of tanking, because I didn't know how long everything would take to get out of my system.
How old was he when you found that out?
He was 4 months. I just knew something was up, with the way he was feeding. It felt like it was constant, but he never seemed satisfied and just would have like extreme fussiness. And, you know, at first it was, is it reflux? And we were putting like everything at it, reflux medication, probiotics. And then, finally they did like a test at the doctors, and they're like, oh yeah, he's showing an intolerance or an allergy to dairy or soy. So I think that's when I got the supplements from Holistic Lactation, because I was worried about my supply tanking while we were getting him kind of sorted out with the formula. And and then I was at that point was like, do I really want to change my whole diet? Like, maybe this is it. Maybe it's just not going to be the same thing. And he's just going to be, you know, on formula, because that's like what he needs. And I couldn't stop, because we did have a good latch established. I did have a supply, and it just seemed like I would be throwing it all away. So I really buckled down and tried it all out of my diet. So that was like a commitment that I, that I am proud of making. Cause when it first came up, I was like, oh, there's no way I can cut all this stuff out. Like, I just don't think I have it in me. But then I just did it. And we got to keep nursing, and by 8 or 9 months, he'd grown out of the allergy.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Oh my goodness. So how long did you end up using the formula for with him?
Wow. I can't even, probably around 9 months when I think we still like had some of it. I mean, that was also when the whole formula shortage was happening.
Oh,
so yeah. We were like enlisting all of our family, like to keep your eye out for this special hypoallergenic formula. And, we did have to make some adjustments with what we could find. And then, luckily my husband's a physician, so he brought the Hemocult tests home from work. So we would test him every once in a while, and we're like, okay, it's negative. All right. Like, we can start reintroducing this stuff and open up, some options a little more with what we can offer him. And, he actually stopped taking a bottle by 9 months old. He just pushed it away. So now he's kind of on the same trajectory. He nurses a little bit before his rest and sometimes first thing in the morning. And I guess he's 17 months now. So I really don't, like offer it. If he reaches for my shirt and we're in the chair rocking before his nap, I'm like, oh, okay, sure, can do this. And then I'll say like, okay, it's time for you to lay down. And I'm going to like close my shirt up. But if it's outside of those times and he'll pull up my shirt, like we'll be out at the park and he'll pull up my shirt. I'm like, no, not right now. Like that's not the time. There's a time and a place for us to do that. And I'm just not comfortable with it being whenever, like it's my body too. And I don't feel like doing this right now. So we're not going to,
So just I love keeping, that. I think that's
that
important.
In mind. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Like it's just, you know, it's a two-way street. It's my body and I'm a person and I'm showing you that's a boundary for me. And we have our time and place where we do this. So that's where he's at. And it's great. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so thankful, that there is support out there that, you know, like that's how I stumbled on your account. I think when I was newly pregnant with him and or maybe when he was a newborn and I was trying to familiarize myself again with how long can, you know, breast milk sit out when you've pumped it. All those mm-hmm. little details that I kind of had forgotten about. So there is so much helpful and supportive information out there. It's just finding what is right for you and like what clicks with you, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really wise, you know, because you can surround yourself with things that, you know, really aren't right for you, you know, and mm-hmm. it can have this, you know, negative impact on your mental health, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're comparing yourself to someone or it's, you know, the type of information or the way it's presented or, you know, all of those different things. So I like that you really kind of seem to have listened to yourself, right? And said, okay, is this something that's helping me? Is this serving me or is it not? Mm-hmm. And doing that, because that's a skill. That is like one of those soft skills that, you know, we kind of end up learning for ourselves or maybe through a self-help book, but like the therapist, you know, but we're not like ingrained with that a lot of the time. So I think that's wonderful. And the way that you're talking about, you know, how you've set these boundaries with your kids when, you know, they're past that, you know, newborn stage. Like obviously a newborn, you know, it's crying, it's hungry, mm-hmm. it's got a dirty diaper or it's tired or something, right? Like it's pretty easy. When they get older, yeah, they can wait. They don't need to nurse mm-hmm. right then and they don't need to nurse all the time, right? So mm-hmm. setting those boundaries, I think, is what's helped you have this, you know, fairly seamless transition to the weaning that's been happening for you. So that's so cool.
Thanks.
So how many times a day on average is he nursing now? I think that's like people want to know. It's the burning question.
It could be two. It's usually no more than three. if he sees me first thing in the morning when he wakes up, then like we'll have that snuggle time. And it also kind of just like buys me a little extra cuddle time in the morning when I'm like, I don't want to get out of bed yet. Come in here and lay with me. And then he still takes two naps. He's like my champion sleeper. He takes a morning nap and an afternoon nap. So those two times. But like over the weekend I was away and I didn't pump. And he obviously didn't nurse when I wasn't around. So he didn't have anything the whole weekend. And it's like out of sight, out of mind for him. And, you know, I came home and when it was the next opportunity, like I maybe put him down for a nap that day when I got home and he nursed for a little bit. So, and I think he's still getting milk, you know, I don't really check. I don't have like a need to pump. So I assume he's like still gets a little something, but,
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. It's really maybe two or three times a day. And then when he'll go down to one nap, it'll just probably be once. I remember stopping the morning feeding with my daughter when she was just getting like too rambunctious for me. Like she was crawling all over me while she was napping or while she was nursing. And I'm like, I can't do this right now. Like I can't have you like scaling me and like having your feet in my face somehow while we're doing this. So if my husband brings the kids downstairs and then I kind of like do my thing upstairs and then come down, they kind of have already started their mornings and it's like he doesn't even think about it. My son, like he's already got his snack and his whole day has started already. So, the morning isn't really even the most frequent one. It's really like at his nap. Yesterday he was so tired at nap time. He didn't even ask. So yeah. If he doesn't ask, I don't really offer. That's kind of where we're at right now. And that works. It works for us. Something I had thought about was like, it seems like everything is just like such a race. Like when a baby is born or in any, you know, part of life, it's like, are they sleeping through the night yet? Are they on a schedule yet? Are they like doing this yet? And then it's like, are you weaning them yet? And that I remember thinking like, wow, I worked really hard to get into this groove of nursing to just stop. Like for what? Like, what is the reason? And it's like, why are we racing them out of babyhood and onto the next thing? Like, let's just be here in this moment and be with it and be present with it. If again, like if it's not a problem for me or for my child, why am I letting anyone else's or society's expectations or questions in to challenge that?
Totally fair, you know, and I think the thing that has happened is that these societal and cultural expectations have overridden the sort of health and medical knowledge and recommendations mm-hmm. that we mm-hmm. have, where people, even pediatricians have said this to my clients, like, it's crazy. Like there's no nutritional benefits to breast milk after age one. Like your body suddenly goes, oh yeah, let's not put any like nutrients in the milk anymore because the kid turned one. Like that's not how it works. Right. There's still a lot of benefits there. And we know that nursing until age two and beyond is very beneficial for health. Mm-hmm. We also just don't have a ton of evidence though of, you know, that those later years of nursing, because it is so uncommon, right? That, you know, what realistically, you know, there is a compound effect, like the longer you breastfeed, the more beneficial it's going to be for that person's life. Right. But like, we don't know to what extent, you know, nursing for 2 years versus 3 years, you know, is there a big difference? But what you're saying mm-hmm. is, and what I would say too, is it doesn't really matter because like you said, it's not hurting anybody. This is something that is benefiting both of you. And at this point, it's not even really about the milk and the mm-hmm. nutrients, right? You have this connection. So mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. Like, have you mm-hmm. found that breastfeeding or nursing has become just like another parenting tool, or is there another way you would look at it?
I mean, it's definitely a tool. like, again, with like, it was always kind of paired with nap time for me. It was just like a quiet time. My kids would like wind down and get ready for rest. And I guess in that way, it was definitely a tool. Like but they also would take a nap for anybody else. Like if anyone else was putting them down for a nap, it wasn't a problem. So that was another reason why I was like, well, it's not like I'm the only one that can put them down for a nap because I'm the nursing parent. But it's a quiet, time together with your child to, you know, just take in their details and soak them up and try to like freeze those little snippets of time. I'm never going to forget that. And then of course it's, you know, you can't argue the antibodies that you're continuing to give your child. So that was another benefit. So just never seemed to be a reason to stop until I felt like I needed to.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's funny you said that about the antibodies too. It makes me think of like in 2020 when all the COVID stuff went down and people were like, well, I was going to wean, but never mind, because I'd rather give this immune protection. I'm sure it will help. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. Like if there was going to be like a positive thing that came from this pandemic, it was that people were more interested in making breastfeeding work and breastfeeding for longer. I don't know if that's still happening, but it did happen for a little while, which was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. We would get questions all the time. Like, I started to wean. How do I get my milk supply back up? And we're like, well, do you like actually want to, or is some milk enough? Like your kids, you know, a year old or what have you. Right.
Right.
You know, I love that you're so proud of your journey and it's still going. So you're not done, but, you know, is there something that maybe it was early on in the breastfeeding support group that you went to with your daughter? Maybe it's something now, maybe it's somewhere in between, but is there something that you would say to a mom who's listening to this that you wish maybe you had heard early on that would have, you know, made you feel more supported or encouraged with how things have gone for you?
Just to parent the child in front of you. And of course that's with breastfeeding, like no one else is in the exact scenario that you're in. No one else is parenting this specific child. No one else is you with these set of circumstances. So looking at, anyone else and what they're doing and looking at apps or, you know, I was obsessing over schedules, like napping schedules, sleeping schedules, feeding schedules when my daughter was really little. And like, if I couldn't match that schedule, then I felt like I failed. So just looking at the kid in front of you and saying, this is my child and I am their parent and I need to look at them and parent them. No one else can do that. So, and that is tuning out a lot of the outside noise and tuning into your child. What are they saying that they need? What can I give them? What am I willing to give them? What am I not willing to do for myself and for them as well? Like that benefit, and being able to really do that and be in the present. And just doing what you need to do right then and there and not thinking too far in the future or what anyone else is going to say or think.
That's such good advice for all stages of parenting.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And a little bit like ahead of you, but it's still true.
It is. And I mean, I'm just continuing to see that, you know, I have a 5-year-old now who's her own person and getting to really get to know who she is and not who I'm trying to make her become is like the greatest gift.
Oh.
Like she's showing me who she is. And it's just so cool. And allowing that space, you know, Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does. You know, it really does. And I think that's such a wonderful way of, you know, if you weren't raised with parents like that, right? Maybe they were like, you have to become a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, whatever, right? Some stereotype we can throw in there, that you can be that change for this next generation, right? How cool is that? Mm-hmm. Because maybe we're lucky enough to have parents who just accepted who you were, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe you didn't. And it's a different time. But I think the way that parents these days are raising their children is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I love that you had this opportunity to share your perspective and everything that you've been going through with breastfeeding with your kids. And it's awesome. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us today. I hope that everyone who's listening has found this really inspirational, and maybe it encourages you to breastfeed for a bit longer than everyone else is telling you to.
Did you know most moms stop breastfeeding in the first month postpartum? I believe succeeding at breastfeeding means having the right mindset. In fact, studies show that the number one factor that determines breastfeeding success is commitment, which is why I've created my incredible audio download of breastfeeding affirmations, where I give you actionable mantras so you can breastfeed your baby with confidence and peace of mind. And best of all, it's free. To get access to this audio and PDF, simply visit holisticlactation.com/mantras, and you can get started right now.